Are you one of the many that head up and down the road to Belfast on the 212? Well, good news today, Translink have 12. That's 12 spanking new Goldliner double-deckers for the 212 route. So let's get the detail on that with Chris Conway, who's the Chief Executive of Translink. Chris, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Hello, Mark. A pleasure to join the call.
Here, good stuff. So, I mean, for Michelle McIlveen, for a Minister of State to come in to Translink and put $4.4 million on the table, you would have probably, bitten the arm off her for the opportunity, and she's been good to her word.
Yes, absolutely. And these new double-deck coaches will be a real luxury coach for people to travel on between Derry, Londonderry and Belfast.
Chris, just outline, because when you're so you're floated essentially as a public service by Stormont, balance that for me with your mission, to make it a profitable and commercial service.
Well, the main thing is to grow passenger numbers on public transport in Northern Ireland, and we really want to try and encourage people to use public transport, be it coach, be it bus, be it rail, and to really try and ease both or get the economic benefits of doing that and also ease the congestion in our towns and cities.
And in fairness, you've done just that in many regards. I mean, I get a lot of context in this programme, understandably, Chris, about how people are frustrated with various aspects of public structure, infrastructure and transport here. But now you're saying that Goldliners now carry 800,000 people every year.
Yes, that's correct. That's the Gold Line service between Belfast and Derry. Londonderry carries 800,000 passengers every year.
Just the 212?
Just the 212.
Short of a million seats a year?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Well, that's impressive.
No, and we operate a number of Gold Line services from Derry, Londonderry to Belfast, and some express and some which do stop at various stops as well. I mean, if you consider the frequency of service we offer there, at peak times we're offering a 15-minute frequency and off-peak a 30-minute frequency. So, I mean, it really is an excellent service between our two major cities.
And Gold Line use in general, I mean, there's Gold Lines, Coleraine, OMA and all the rest, up 53% in the last 10 years.
Yes,
why do
yes.
you think people are turning to the bus more? I suggest maybe that a lot of people have simply no other option because the trains are so... Well, you tell me what you think of the train service in Ireland outside Belfast.
I think it... We have a good rail service to the areas that it goes to. There is a significant investment being put into rail over the last 10 years. But I mean, you need complementary services, and I think having a good Gold Line bus service and a good rail service gives people options and gives people flexibility as well.
To go, though, 74 miles, I know we're talking about buses today, Chris, but to go to and from the 74 miles to Belfast, it shouldn't take 5 hours, if you're lucky, on a train in a working day, should it?
No, I don't think we have a timetable that shows 5 hours on it, Mark.
Well, I've used it many a time. You need to be budgeting for about 2.5, 2 hours 40 to get from Derry to Belfast.
Yes,
sometimes you're standing in Coleraine for 15 minutes, etc.
Well, the timetable is there, and it shows the times that it takes to get to Belfast from Derry, Londonderry. The service suits a lot of people to take and use that time. It is obviously a very nice journey as much as anything else, and you can use that time. I mean, we get a lot of business people who are happy to take that time because they can spend those 2-2.5 hours doing work on the train. And the same is true on the coaches as well. We've good facilities on the coaches that people can work and use the time appropriately as they're travelling into Belfast or travelling out to Derry, Londonderry from Belfast.
I mean, obviously you've inherited generations of effort in terms of roads and buses and all the rest, and it's chip, 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 chip. I mean, it's like that in any modern society.
Yes.
You make a road better, you get the resurfacing. Tell me honestly, if Stormont was to say, Chris, look, we're going to go back to year zero here, give you a clean sheet, buses, trains, especially buses in terms of what we're reporting today, what would you do?
What would I do in terms of where would I put the
investment? Where they would go, the direction? I mean, the train goes all the way, it's like a dog's hind leg, isn't it? All the way up the coast and have a nice look out at the Atlantic and then come down into Derry. Would you scrap that for a start?
Well, what we have now is a rail network that has been, was constructed many, many years ago. The best way forward is to invest in that existing infrastructure and use the benefits. I mean, the rail network that goes up into the northwest is a very a very nice journey as well as a very efficient way to get between two cities. And given that you can work on the train and you can use the train for lots of other purposes.
You really think it's, honestly, I mean, I'm being straight here because I'm a user and I would use it more if it was more efficient. You really think it's efficient?
Yeah, I mean, the volume of passengers, we use about 2 million passengers use that service every
year. But they've no option. They've no option. There's not another train. There's not another competitor.
Well, they've got our GO Line service there as well, where, as you said, we're carrying nearly 1 million passengers on that as well.
Indeed.
And people like the flexibility. A lot of people are, you know, the journey time, obviously improving the journey time would be good. There's a lot of investment to do that. But as the journey time stands, a lot of people still use it, and it's still continue to grow this year. It's going to grow another 10%.
Well, look, I do like the listeners to do the talking, and certainly they're engaged with this. That won't surprise you in terms of an awful lot of people loving the service, an awful lot of people with questions to ask. Have you been in the new Double Deckers? I'm assuming you have.
Yes, I have, yes.
Well, I'm quoting your, and I've had some serious crack. Could I compliment your press people? But they're very, very funny and intelligent people. We've had some crack with Ursula and the gang behind the scenes today. But anyway, the official blurb reads, investment in Go Line ensures that the coach journeys continue to offer a modern, attractive, sustainable transport option. And here's the interesting bit. We're offering these new ones free Wi-Fi, comfortable leather seating, generous legroom, modern interior surroundings, automatic climate control, security CCTV, tinted and double glass windows.
Yeah.
Chris, let's go through that because it matters, right?
Yeah.
The free Wi-Fi was on the previous buses, and listeners are saying it's often rubbish. And I have to say, I'm frustrated. It can take ages to get logged in. You get to certain long stretches of the road, and there is simply no Wi-Fi. You must be aware of that.
Well, there's a couple of things in that. Firstly, the Wi-Fi has to connect to a mobile network, and there are stretches of the road where there isn't good connections. There's absolutely nothing that Translink can do about that. We give the best Wi-Fi service on the bus that we can, but at times the connection isn't there. What we are doing is, on these coaches, the Wi-Fi will be upgraded. And also, if you track the Wi-Fi usage, we get some very high usages on the 212 service on the Wi-Fi. So somebody's getting good use out of it.
But I am until it cuts out. You know, but I basically know, well, I can use it until I get basically the turn off between Claudia Park and Feeney, and then forget about it from there to Dungiven. And that's a good old 25 minutes.
Yeah, and that's connectivity to the mobile network.
But why not put a business case to the private sector? I mean, is it Vodafone that is your host?
Well, I don't want to go into mention how we use it, and we go through different partners, but it's something we're working with them on, and it's something that all coach users on that route have a difficulty with, and it's something we're all working to try and improve.
It's a comfortable leather seating, but you had that before on them, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
A generous legroom. It doesn't say if it's more generous or less generous.
It's about the same generous.
About the same. This is important. I have a person on the inside telling me today, ask him about the legroom, because we've been in the bus. I'm not even going to intimate who this is or whatever. They're saying we've been in them and there's less legroom. Chris, I have to say, in all honesty, I'm a fella 6'4". It's the thing puts me off your 212 more than anything. I feel like a hamster.
All right. Well, obviously the height of the bus is a certain height, and you have to work with that within the two decks that you're putting on the bus. On the bottom deck on these buses, they are slightly higher than the previous bus.
It's not the height; it's the knees in the front. I can't straighten out my knees. I'm actually sitting diagonally on your seats.
But you have good usage in them, because they are low floor buses, which is another key point you didn't mention. They are low floor buses, which means they are more accessible to wheelchair users, for example.
For sure, and that's just fantastic. But
which is great, and. On that bottom deck, there is more legroom. On the top deck, it is tighter, and someone your height will find it more challenging, Mark. But once you're sitting in the seat, I can guarantee you'll be comfortable.
What about atmosphere? I don't know if you've ever got the 212, have you? Or one of, like, with respect, you know, on a groggy February morning, it can be clammy, it can be airlocked. And so there's days the guy has the heating on and it's like the Sahara Desert and you're sweating, and then there's other days, Chris, you're freezing like a boy at the North Pole. Fair point.
Yeah, well, these buses that we're introducing have full climate control on them, so they've, as well as air conditioning, the full humidity control. And in fact, the systems that are in them, the company that designed these coaches also puts this system into buses which they use in Hong Kong. Mm. So they should be able to give very good climate control. It'll be automatic, so the temperature will be set at a certain range, and it'll automatically come on and on. So I think, you know, and I have used the 212 service, and I know at times it can be either too warm or too cold.
It can.
It's difficult to set. But these new coaches will have an automatic setting on them, and I think passengers will notice the difference.
What height are you?
That's a very personal question.
That's a personal question.
I'm about 5 foot eight, Mark.
But you're all right. You're all right. Your wee knees are grand.
Yeah. But as I said, on the downstairs part of the coach, there is generous leg room in a number of the seats, which I think you would be able to use okay, Mark.
Well, you see, I make a beeline, and people think, oh, you're mad, look, I'm trying to get to the front. I'm always trying to be the boy who gets onto the back seat first, where the gap is at the back seat that I can stretch out fully, but there's only one of them. There's only one of them. Pensioner takes the bus, Mark. I avoid the top deck, she tells me. There were no seats left. The top deck is so cold. Maybe a different... Is there a different... Does the top deck, Chris, of a 212 have a microclimate unique to public infrastructure in Northern Ireland than the lower decks of said 212s?
Well, as I said, you know, let's get these new 212s into service and see how passengers notice the difference, because I think they will with the new climate control system.
They look fab, by the way. I mean, I have to say, and I remember my uncle was Bill Ferris, you know, who would have been the main bus man here when our German friend first bought Ulster Bus. Do you know why they're blue, by the way? Do you know why they're that colour?
Why? Well, no. Are you going to tell me one?
I am indeed.
Yeah, okay.
Bill, I remember, told me, because when he came, what did you call him? The German gentleman, wonderful man. Oh, goodness, I think he was the pioneer of buses and all on our way back in the Troubles.
Oh, we were before my time.
Yeah. Well, it was his region of Germany that was the colour of its...
Okay.
It's called a Marian blue. It's the colour of St. Mary, actually. And he was saying, I'll choose that colour to remind me of home. And right. Bill told me that's why blue buses in Northern Ireland are the blue that they are.
Very good. I learn something new every day, Mark.
Right, callers on about this issue. I was about to get onto Facebook. Chris, and thank you for your good offices today. It's lovely to have somebody who's up front and comes to the line like us. Listeners are all over it, and here's some of the thoughts. Long overdue. Comfort is paramount on long journeys. Cost of travel goes up. Wages stay the same, says Connor. I go on the 212. The Wi-Fi is useless, he says Robbie. I hope they sorted the seatbelts. My backside is still sore. Wi-Fi, no good, says Melanie. How about using... She has to resort to data, you know, or ordinary data,
yes,
not your Wi-Fi.
Yes.
I've seen these buses about recently, says Anthony. They look lovely, considering the old ones. Sean says about buses breaking down. Look, everything breaks down. Cars do too. He says, the old ones break down more times than I do when I watch Titanic in the movie. He says, nice wagons, says Oren. Craig wants us to talk about the 273. Another listener wants us to talk about the 218. The 218 is... Korean, isn't it?
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time, says Owen Barr, on the 212 commuting to work in Belfast. I'm sure others would prefer, like me, a decent train service instead. When are these lovely new buses going into service? Asks Stuart Buchanan, Chris.
Yeah, they're going in Monday, into service on Monday, and the coaches will be up on Friday just to be showcased up around the Guildhall.
It's not only you get the touch. Shamey Duddy says, Mark, do you ever cover rail topics and issues going on here in Ireland? We think a 4.4 million investment in buses is a real issue, and we do not apologise for covering it. A great service, says Paddy Casey. Good to see the upgrade. It would be good if they made some direct services. For example, if the service leaving the R was Derry to Belfast, direct non-stop. Chris, that is another one. That's another Chris Taylor making the point. It is a wee bit stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, isn't it?
Well, I mean, honestly, there are a number of express services during the day, and there is high frequency on them, but obviously we stop at certain points on the way down to utilise the bus capacity. But certainly if there's feedback around express buses or anything that people need, we're happy to listen to that feedback and respond to it.
Yeah. I'm leaving the most difficult question till last.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, did you not miss a golden opportunity commissioning these beautiful new buses to put a loo on board? It is the single issue people are saying. It's an hour 40 minutes. If you're lucky, on scheduled days, maybe you're caught up in the snow, the traffic, 2 hours holding the bladder or the bile. Let me be blunt about this. For an awful lot of people, maybe people elderly or experiencing difficulty, it's a reason for them not to pay the money to use your service.
Well, on a double-deck coach, there isn't such a facility to do that. On a double-deck coach, you appreciate in some single.
Well, there are on some. I've been in double-deck coaches and buses in England, all over England, that have toilets.
It's not something we've considered in this service because we've felt the journey time, you know, worked okay, and we haven't had that many issues with it. So at this point in time, no, it's not something we decided to introduce.
I tell you for a fact, again, a lot of fellas would go up and down to see Ulster from Derry, Londonderry as well. I know for a fact you're missing out on a lot of the... rugby trade, if you want to call it that. They want to get away, you know, and the service would allow them time-wise to get to the game. But fellas have a few beer in Belfast, and there's a fear of getting caught short, if you like, in Dungiven or Machaerfield.
Okay, I'm happy to take that feedback. It's not one I've heard before, but certainly it's something we could look at for the future.
Very good. Listen, finally, on the train, Paul Gosling, the prominent economic journalist and all the rest, Paul was making a point about the train, Chris, and I know you've agreed to take the question as well. There used to be, Eamonn McCann, I remember 5 or 6 years ago, lamented the fact that the tea lady, affectionately known as the tea lady, she was a lady, was taken off the train. Paul says, look, he understands the thing about booze having been previously a problem on the trolleys on the train, but he was saying surely there'd be enough demand for, with all these masses of people now using the train, to look at reintroducing a simple service for sandwiches and hot beverages.
Well, that service is obviously operated by an independent person, and whenever the alcohol policy came in, that's where most of the profit was being made. So they found that they were going to have to put the prices up significantly on the food, and they tried that for a while and found that people were bringing sandwiches and drinks on to the service themselves, and used that as an option. So it was no longer viable. Now we do provide facilities at the stations where people can buy food. They can bring it onto the service. They can bring water onto the service.
But I tell you why I don't do that. I'm worried about yous going off without me if I hopped out of Coleraine for a coffee, which I have done. And the line, you're right, it's singularly beautiful. I mean, Michael Palin, of course, has said, it's one of the great train journeys in the world. It's not that quick, though. I'd be worried that if I popped out for a sandwich in Coleraine, that you'll go on without me.
Well, I mean, popping out for a sandwich is risky, Mark. I would say it'd be better to bring your sandwich on board with you when you get on at Belfast or at Derry Londonderry.
Yes. I'm reminded, by the way, the gentleman was Werner Heubeck, a remarkable figure.
Werner Heubeck, that's right.
I remember he told me about Werner and what he had to be up against, when guys were burning buses every second day here. It was a task I'm sure you wouldn't have envied back in the day, Chris.
No, certainly glad we're well away from that now,
indeed,
Mark.
Indeed. So there we go, 12 lovely new buses. And it's all good. Look, every success with it, I mean, the figures speak for themselves. But in the future, is there any of that feedback in particular, Chris, that you might take on board as the main man?
Well, certainly, we listen to feedback all the time, and we hold sessions at stations and at various venues to get feedback from passengers, and we're always interested to listen to feedback and continue to improve the service. I mean, as I said, what we really want to do is encourage more people to use public transport, ease the congestion on our roads, and give people, people who live in Northern Ireland, also people who come tourists to Northern Ireland, to enjoy the experience using public transport.
And just in a word, would you fear a commercial contractor coming in and saying, right, we'll go up, Mark Losby makes the point, would rail services be better if bus and rail had different operators? A commercial operator come and said, look, we'll take one of your routes that's making money, we'll put buses on with televisions and toilets and all the rest, and sure, we'll undercut Ulster Bus by a pound. Would you fear them?
Well, in principle, I have no fear of competition. I mean, competition is good in any market. I think it's exactly the sentence that you said there, Mark, which is the thing we'd need to work out, which is someone like to come and take one of our routes which is profitable. If someone wants to come and take one of our routes profitable and take a few of the routes which aren't profitable, then I think that's a fair balance. And I think that's the challenge, really, that the profitable routes actually fund our more rural services, which are not profitable, and that's how we balance out the public transport network in Northern Ireland. I think that balance is very careful to be maintained, and so therefore, doing any sort of privatisation has to take that has to be considered. In general, my background is very much in the private sector, and I think competition is good.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on and for answering questions. I think listeners so appreciate that. Every success with the new fleet.
Okay.
And join us again on air, will you?
Okay, it will do, Mark. Thank you.
Well, thank you indeed.